this morning is the State of Minnesota versus Devon Dennis Carstensen. And counsel, you each have 15 minutes for your oral arguments this morning. I would request that you please introduce yourself and announce who you're representing. The appellants will have 5 minutes for rebuttal. And if you're ready to proceed, I'll give you a few moments to get settled. And
start up at the podium on that. And
you may approach the and
you want introductions now or at the podium?
You can come now.
Okay. I'm Blair Nelson for Mr. Carstensen.
My name is River Thielen for the State of Minnesota.
All right, very good. Well, you come before. Thank you. And as I indicated, we're very happy to be here in beautiful Bemidji.
Well, welcome. It's a little disconcerting. We're used to the talking heads on the computer up here.
Oh, okay.
The live panel is fresh, but different.
That was a safe comment.
that was a safe comment.
Let's keep it safe.
You may proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court and counsel. I'm Blair Nelson, and I'm here for Devon Carstensen. This case is finally going to get some, action on the issue of whether Hine is the plan of George in Minnesota or not. And frankly, it is Mr. Carstensen's position that George should still control and that a mistake of fact in Minnesota is different than a mistake of law. And in this case, the officer made a pure mistake of law when he stopped Mr. Carstensen's vehicle. There was no other basis other than the belief that it was illegally registered, when in fact it was not under Minnesota's recognition of Iowa law. That license plate registration thing is the only reason that Mr. Carstensen was stopped in this DWI case. Now, we have the issue where the lower court relied on Hine that it is a reasonable mistake of law. In Minnesota so far, a mistake of law has never justified a stop. And when you look at the way Hine was looking at the North Carolina law, it referenced a complex interpretation of a law as part of the mistake. In this case, we don't have a misinterpretation, but rather an utter ignorance by the officer of what the law provided.
Well, here's what I don't understand, because of course we reviewed the determination of the district court judge as an error correcting court, and in his memorandum, he goes back and forth and talks about the mistake of fact and the mistake of law, and I'm not sure if he ever drew a conclusion one way or the other.
It's a pure mistake of law. There's no question that that license plate had a designation of the end of June, but however, the registration scheme meant that was valid until the end of the next month.
Why do we spend any time arguing whether something is a mistake of fact or a mistake of law? We really are concerned with stops occurring only after the officers have a reasonable articulable suspicion. And it focuses on the reasonableness, that it's not arbitrary and capricious. Well, so wouldn't it be better to have that as the standard instead of trying to pigeonhole and plug it into one of these square holes?
I don't think it's a pigeonholing, Your Honor. The people that are the referees.
The question that objectively it was reasonable for the officer, was it not to conclude that there was a problem here? Because on the face of it, it appeared to be violation of the rules.
The referees on the field should know what the rules of the game are.
How do you do that? Check every state's law?
Well, if you are enforcing a law, you should know what you are enforcing.
You're not enforcing the law, it's simply stopping. It wasn't even an arrest. Just stopping to make an inquiry. That's what it's the detention. That would be
Your Honor, what business does Minnesota have in worrying about whether people have paid up their registrations in Iowa?
Probably not.
Probably not. And
does an officer have an interest in following up on something that appears to him to be a potential violation? I mean, that's not what this is, isn't it? It appeared to the officer that this was a potential violation. And so he's inquiring about it. That's the basis for the stop. Was anything unreasonable about that?
Well, it was unreasonable in the unpublished Thorson case in 2016 when a officer stopped a Colorado vehicle in Minnesota under the belief that it violated the window tint law. And the Court of Appeals said that because it was involving a Minnesota registration violation where you had to register or could only register vehicles in Minnesota with a certain tint percentage, and this vehicle was registered in Colorado, they didn't apply Hine to it because, you know, Minnesota had no interest in the registration of a Colorado vehicle.
Can I ask you this? And I know that you're you don't know what I'm going to ask, but I mean you're making the position, and it's one that we have to address, that this is controlled by binding Minnesota precedent.
Yes.
Is there anything in the cases that you cite that control here, Anderson and George, that indicate that the court in deciding those cases was deciding it under the Minnesota Constitution and providing greater rights than would be afforded under the U.S. Constitution?
Not specifically, Your Honor. However, there's always a word, however, isn't there? The theory behind this permitting a reasonable mistake to excuse a police conduct.
Maybe that's pejorative. How about explaining?
Okay. Is good faith.
Well, I struggle with this because you did not, you submitted the case to the district court on stipulated evidence. And it appears to me that if you felt the officer had a pretextual reason or just was not correct in running an Iowa license plate, what business of it was his, don't you have to show that he had that a motive other than checking to make sure someone was following the law? And how can we do that on stipulated facts?
It wasn't handled handled like this for purposes of clarity, that this is a pure mistake of law and that the binding Minnesota cases are that a pure mistake of law cannot be the basis for a stop. And because of that clarity and to simplify and get the legal issue as easily before the courts as possible, we chose to go that way.
Doesn't the, if you look at the whole case law regarding these stops, isn't the primary purpose to prohibit the police from engaging in misconduct? I mean, isn't that the key thing that the court is trying to accomplish by those cases?
The key thing we're trying to accomplish under the Fourth Amendment is protection of the rights of the citizens to be left alone unless there's a darn good reason otherwise.
But but the standard, if it's a reasonable, articulable suspicion, and the police see something that appears to be illegal, I mean, why? How does this in any way go toward that goal? When the baseline is that that's all they need to stop somebody.
People who are doing nothing wrong that is visible should not have their privacy disrupted, their travel interrupted, or be seized by the authorities when they are doing nothing wrong. The officer has made a mistake of the applicable law.
But again, I mean, it's just the stop we're talking about here. If they've done nothing wrong, they can explain. In Iowa, I don't have to, get a new license until such and such time. I mean, because there's a lesser standard for a stop than for example, an arrest.
Your Honor, we cannot go to the point of where you have nothing, you're doing nothing wrong, you have nothing to fear. I mean, that's why we have the greatest protections of privacy in the world, and why Minnesota can protect privacy rights even greater than the federal government.
Do our cases suggest that Minnesota's law on stops is different than the federal law?
Not precisely. However, this expansion of the federal law is basically good faith by the officer. And Minnesota, in applying the search and seizure law, has only extended a good faith exception in a case where officers are acting on binding appellate precedent at that time. In this case, as I stated earlier, the officer was making...
So you're not challenging that this officer was acting in good faith. You're, at least for us to frame it up, you're saying we agree he was just wrong.
He was just wrong. He was just wrong. The, he was absolutely just wrong.
Well, could you explain to me why is it, and I'm trying to draw a distinction, why is it if an officer's mistaken as to a fact, it's permissible, but if the officer's mistaken and reasonable, I guess, but if he's mistaken as to the law, it's not?
Cases.
Why? What would be the policy rationale there?
Because observations can be very fallible and fleeting. Okay, they can mistake the fact of what they saw at the time, seems to be the rationale. However, the law is something that can be known ahead of time, isn't subject to distraction at that point. And a person who is making a stop for a presumed violation of the law shouldn't be doing that, and that should not be rewarded for being wrong. I mean, for citizens, ignorance of the law is no excuse. That is beat into our heads from grade school on up. But the way things are getting topsy-turvy here on search and seizure law, an officer is perfectly okay being ignorant of the law while enforcing them. And that's just backwards.
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you're bringing that up, but I mean, if we adopt your position on this, I mean, how would an officer ever stop anyone from out of state that appears to have expired tabs? Because what officer is going to know the law of all 50 states?
Well, first of all...
I mean, wouldn't that basically eliminate any stops for that? The officer... I don't know too many people that know the laws relative to the tab, the registrations.
As I said earlier, Minnesota has no interest in the registration of vehicles of other states. You know, they're not collecting the fees, they're not distributing the plates, they're not distributing the tabs, the vehicle is not domiciled there. They have zero interest in the registration of an Iowa vehicle.
Well, is that true? Is there anything in the record that supports that? I mean, maybe Minnesota does have an interest because their citizens are driving without tabs in other states. They expect some reciprocity. You're saying what Minnesota wants or doesn't want. I mean, I think you could just as easily say they want it to be enforced wherever the people are.
I disagree that there is any Minnesota interest compared to, let's look in cases where you have headlight configurations of the light, right? There is a certain amount of public safety issues and the operation of Minnesota's highways to have lights that are functional and in the proper configuration, to be able to read a license plate. You know, those sorts of things are, you know, of interest when they're out there. But the fact that it is registered or even not or up to date in another state is different and fully distinguishable from a headlight configuration or even a window tint. And we have, be it an unpublished case, that said that the window tint isn't a good enough reason, even though this person is driving on Minnesota roads with a vehicle that has less visibility, that it would be presumably some minuscule amount of being less safe. But the Court of Appeals, after Hyen, had said since it's involving Colorado registration and not a Minnesota registration issue, it is a mistake of law, and therefore the stop needed to be suppressed.
All right, well, thank you.
May it please the court, my name is River Thielen and I represent the state of Minnesota. This case is about reasonableness, which has been referred to as the touchstone of the Fourth Amendment. And the reason that reasonableness is so important in this case is for reasons that this panel has already discussed. The Hyen has addressed the reasoning behind the cases that have been before in Minnesota, and Hyen recognizes that mistakes of law and mistakes of fact are very close to a mixed area of law. For example, first case, George, I believe it was the headlight configuration case, the officer observed the headlights of the motorcycle and recognized that he believed there were three headlights on that motorcycle, when in reality that motorcycle had one headlight and two auxiliary passing lamps, which is a legal configuration in Minnesota. That officer's observations could be framed as either a mistake of fact in that he missaw the type of configuration of that vehicle's headlights, or a mistake of law in that the vehicle's headlights configuration were legal. It's a mixed issue between the two.
And let me, somewhere I thought I read that there was a stipulation with this law. Is that true?
I don't believe that.
I thought that was a concession that appellate counsel made, that we are looking at this clearly from a mistake of law perspective, and that there's no claim that this officer was had anything other than didn't know.
I mean, there's pretty much a concession on the appellant's part, though, because he's arguing that in fact is a mistake of law.
Yes, Your Honor. I guess I was just referring to that.
So my question is, do you recall what the stipulation was? Did you stipulate that? When you stipulated the facts.
Are you agreed that this case, Your Honor?
Yes.
The facts were stipulated.
So you can stipulate that this was also a mistake of law?
I don't think the specific provision of whether it was a mistake of fact or law was stipulated to. I would argue that this is a mistake of law. My argument is that the test should be reasonable.
Not jump over so quickly. Are you sure?
That this
somewhere I read that there was that the party stipulated that this was a mistake of law.
Yes, I'm not sure, Your Honor. That whether this was a stipulated mistake of law. The contested issue was whether this was a mistake of law. So the issue before the court would be whether this was a mistake of law.
The reason it's confusing is because the judge's order frames the issue, was Deputy Burke's mistake of fact reasonable? And then he goes in to discuss mistake of law. And I think that is perhaps just leads us in the wrong direction. I'm understanding we're all talking about mistake of law.
That's correct, Your Honor. And I think that's one reason why, that confusion is one reason why the test should simply be reasonableness, whether the mistake was reasonable, which is the test for a reasonable mistake of fact.
So you would agree that when it's reasonable for there to be a mistake of fact that allows an officer to stop, that should be extended.
That's correct.
To mistake of law.
Yes, Your Honor. The test that should cover both should simply be whether the officer's beliefs and actions.
Well, maybe we would agree, but Do we have any Minnesota authority for that proposition?
Not Minnesota authority, Your Honor. The cases, George and Anderson in Minnesota addressing this issue, both relied on the United States Constitution, which was clarified in Heim. Those cases did not extend the Minnesota Constitution. And in fact, George referred to the Minnesota Constitution provision as comparable to the United States Constitution. So despite the fact that those prior two cases indicated that a mistake of law is not an objective basis for stopping Minnesota, Heim has essentially undercut that reasoning that was present in those two cases. And Heim discusses the reasons for that, and that reasonableness is essentially what is being looked for in these cases. Recognizing that an officer can make a mistake of law as well.
So you're saying we have no Minnesota cases on the subject of mistake of law that applies to Minnesota Constitution?
That's correct.
Only the federal Constitution?
Yes, Your Honor.
And you're saying that Heinen, or however you pronounce it, Heim, says that on the federal Constitution, we don't make a distinction between mistake of law and mistake of fact. We look at what's reasonable, we look at what's reasonable.
Absolutely. And Heim discusses the reasoning for that, in that
Are there any unpublished cases in Minnesota that have indicated that the Minnesota Constitution has some bearing on these towns?
Not that I'm aware of, nor we respected co-counsel have mentioned an unpublished case, but I don't know that specific case. I'm not sure for you to it regarding the registration in Colorado.
When he comes back to rebuttal, he can maybe give us that citation.
Heim recognizes that a reasonable officer can make a mistake of law just as easily as a mistake of fact. And this case is a good example of reasonable mistake of law. As the panel has mentioned, the officer is a Minnesota officer operating here in Bemidji. It's unreasonable for him to recognize the laws of Iowa, and particularly in a case where this, where the law itself is a little bit counterintuitive, where the registration isn't considered expired until 30 days after the physical expiration of the tab. It was mentioned, ignorance of the law is no excuse, and that's specifically discussed in Heim, that this isn't a conviction. A defendant can be convicted of a crime if he's unaware of the law, but that's a conviction. This is merely a stop. And Heim discusses that officers are out in the field, and they do have to make quick decisions regarding both facts and the law. And it's reasonable for them to have some leeway in making that distinction. Heim specifically gives the example of an officer who has to enforce the law referring to vehicles in a park. The officer sees a Segway and has to make a quick snap decision as to whether a Segway constitutes a vehicle.
Which is the first Minnesota case that they made the distinction between the rule relating to the mistake of law and the mistake of fact? Remember?
The Supreme Court case that came first in time that I'm aware of, State v. George, Your Honor. I don't know.
Minnesota Supreme Court.
Yes, Your Honor. But I don't know if there's a case earlier than that.
So, do you recall what the rationale for that decision was?
The rationale, if I recall correctly, was that because it was a mistake of law, it was not an objectively, there was no objective legal basis to stop the vehicle. And I believe the court did not focus on the reasonableness of the stop, only that it was a mistake of law. And because it's a mistake of law, there cannot be that objective legal basis.
And then the second case, is there another case?
Yes, Your Honor, the second case addressing this is State versus Anderson.
And that's a Minnesota Supreme Court case as well?
It is, Your Honor.
And what did the jury move in that case?
In that case, the officer believed that a vehicle failed to move a lane away from an emergency vehicle in Minnesota. And again, the state relied on George in determining that because the vehicle apparently was within the legal distance that was required, it was a mistake of law rather than a mistake of fact. And again, referring to George, it determined that wasn't an objective legal basis to stop the vehicle. However, Heim clarifies that reasonableness is part of this determination, and reasonableness should be part of the determination because that is, again, the touchstone of the Fourth Amendment.
So it's fair to say that we really don't know what the law is as to the Minnesota Constitution stops.
That's correct, Your Honor. As noted in George, the two provisions between the Minnesota and the federal constitution are comparable. And
well, they're comparable and not the same, and we have some situations where the Minnesota rule on the Fourth Amendment is different than the federal rule.
Absolutely, Your Honor. But extension is not required in this case. This isn't a new drastic change in the law. This is simply the idea that an officer's mistake can be reasonable being extended. In an area where, as this court has already discussed, where a mistake of fact and a mistake of law, it's a thin line between the two. And allowing an officer that a little bit of leeway to make that the call on the field whether someone is in violation, in this case, whether someone's tab has expired from Iowa while driving in Minnesota, is not a drastic extension of Minnesota law or policy.
Well, can I ask you this? I mean, where, as the Court of Appeals, we're a mere error-correcting court, and we've got two cases that clearly say that a mistake as to law this cannot be a valid basis for a stop. How can we, as an error-correcting court, not follow those two cases that apply here?
Your Honor, this court cannot follow those two cases because those cases did not independently apply to the Minnesota Constitution. So those cases essentially don't apply to this case because what those cases apply to the federal Constitution, the logic and underlying reasoning of those cases, has been clarified by the Supreme Court in Hine. So this court can follow the decision in Hine and recognize that it essentially has overturned George and Anderson to the extent that they rely on the federal Constitution. The state, something else that was addressed, is the state does have a policy interest in ensuring that out-of-state drivers are legally registered and driving on Minnesota roads. Minnesota does have that reciprocity statute, and I think it's common sense that Minnesota would expect enforcement of its registration in other states and those vehicles driving in Minnesota, that their registrations would be enforced in Minnesota.
Well, why would Minnesota have an interest? I mean, why would other states have an interest in enforcing Minnesota's?
Because states have an interest in having vehicles on the roads properly registered. Vehicles are, enforcement of our highway laws is important. The highways are important thoroughfares of the state for commerce and vacation use for the average citizen. And that's why we have registration laws. I think Minnesota's interest in having its own vehicles registered on its own highways is equivalent and equal to that of making sure that out-of-state vehicles are properly registered as well.
So you come to the conclusion that I knew that Minnesota's rule is focused on objectively being reasonable, and that's not objectively reasonable to stop somebody for a non-violation even if you thought it was a violation. And now under Hine, you look at the totality of the officer's conduct to see whether that conduct is that the distinction that's being made?
I think if I understand Your Honor correctly, I think I do agree. I think the distinction is whether there is an objective legal basis as opposed to an objectively reasonable basis. I think the term reasonable had gotten lost at some point in the analysis regarding the state of law.
Well, I think in the two Minnesota cases, they equated the two, that it was not going to be reasonable if it was objectively illegal.
And I think there is a distinction between the two, and I think that's apparent in this case, where the officer's mistake is reasonable. It's an out-of-state vehicle. The tab was expired on its face. He stopped the vehicle believing that the vehicle was not properly registered, and that is a reasonable mistake for a Minnesota officer. So that is an objectively reasonable mistake. However, the vehicle was properly registered in Iowa, so that whether there's an objective legal basis, the answer is no, because the vehicle is properly registered. And I think any time that there is a mistake of law, there will not be an objective legal basis, because that's the whole nature of the mistake, is that it was incorrect in law. The officer in this case did make a mistake. But the question should be whether it was a reasonable mistake. In this case, it was.
So your proposition is that going forward, there's no distinction being made between mistake of law and mistake of fact.
That's correct, Your Honor.
The question is whether the officer's conduct was reasonable.
That's correct, Your Honor. And that is touched on in Hine that addresses that these two concepts are essentially mirrored and intermixed. And going back to those two cases, looking at the headlight configuration, whether it was safe, the type of the headlights or whether it was legal, looking at whether the vehicle had moved a lane away from the emergency vehicle or whether The distance it had moved was legal or not. It's a very thin line between the two. The test that the court should be able to apply is simply looking at the facts of the case, looking at the mistake made, whether it be legal or factual, and then determining whether that mistake was reasonable. Which goes back to the touchstone of the Fourth Amendment is that reasonable analysis.
And getting to your reasonableness analysis, in George and Anderson, was that a mistake of law as to Minnesota law?
It was, Your Honor. Under those two cases, the motorcycle had a correct configuration. It wasn't legal under Minnesota law. And the court determined in Anderson that the vehicle was within a legal distance, I believe, 1 minute of the emergency vehicle. So determined that in both of those cases, the mistake was a legal one rather than a factual one.
But a legal one involving Minnesota law as opposed to the law of another state.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So wouldn't that factor in to whether it's reasonable or not for an officer to not understand Minnesota law?
Absolutely, Your
Honor. Or not know Minnesota law?
Absolutely, Your Honor. And that's part of why the test should be that reasonable analysis. That allow district courts to apply a test that they didn't apply in mistake of fact cases in Minnesota.
Well, let me be the devil with that. Should an officer want to stop somebody on a claim that violated the law of another state, be very careful and leery of that, because it's one thing to have a mistake of Minnesota law, but...
I see my time has expired. Can I answer the question?
Yes.
I think that officer could make that call on the field. In fact, they may very well have to make that call whether somebody violated the law of another state. I think it's going to be a very rare case that an officer is having to look at the law of another state in this case.
One other question, if I may.
Yeah.
Are there other states that extend the 1 month period like Colorado?
Unfortunately, I don't know the answer to that question.
So the question is it reasonable for an officer who may know or maybe should know that some states do that to stop somebody from another state? Without knowing whether.
May I answer you?
Yeah.
It may very well be reasonable, maybe not reasonable. I think that's the call that the district court has to make. And I believe after Hine, I think that's an appropriate call to make. And in this case, the district court determined that it wasn't a reasonable mistake. And I think that's one reason why the test should focus on the reasonableness of the case rather than simply declaring it that there was no objective legal basis. Is there no further questions?
I don't think so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there a stipulation?
Yes.
The stipulation was that it was a mistake of law?
Yes, there was. The in this case, there was not a violation of Minnesota law. Nor was there a violation of Iowa law. The stop was not based upon any violation of law. You mentioned earlier that you're looking for a citation on the Thorson case at 216 Westlaw 358-2848, where it was a tint case. Tint cases involve vehicles that registered in Minnesota. Vehicles from other states can have different tint than allowable with Minnesota registered vehicles and drive on the roads of Minnesota. This post-time case is analogous to this, where you have an out-of-state registration with out-of-state driver, and there not being a reasonable stop under Minnesota law for this person, and therefore a stop should be thrown out and suppression is warranted. This is very close to the situation in Thorson. Other states have rejected Hyen on their application, their state, Idaho, for example, has found that it does not apply to Idaho cases.
Because Idaho Constitution?
Yes. And Hine, at the Supreme Court level, the discussion of the focus on these cases is based upon the complexity of making a legal determination by the officer. That case was about interpreting the North Carolina statute on acceptable license lights or taillights. There's a difference between interpretation of law and utter ignorance.
Well, you would distinguish the Hine case based upon facts?
I distinguish Hine based upon the complexity of the mistake of law.
Part of the fact in that case.
Well, the...
It's not that complex here. Is that what you're saying?
The legal question is not as complex here. It's still based upon a mistake of law. And the current Minnesota objective test that it can't be reasonable if it objectively is not a violation of the law sure makes a lot of sense. Now, that is reasonableness. Objectively, it's not reasonable. And if someone's going to correct this in Minnesota, it should be the Minnesota Supreme Court. We have Minnesota cases that are on point, and this court ought to overturn the district court and keep following the current standard in Minnesota, as there hasn't been a post-Hine case in Minnesota that says that changes our mistake of law jurisprudence.
But if we have the U.S. Supreme Court has issued a decision that that explains or describes what is reasonable, what is a reasonable stop and not a reasonable stop. And to the extent that court has issued a ruling, are we necessarily bound to what is clearly inconsistent law by the Supreme Court?
It casts a shadow on George and Anderson. I will not concede that it's clearly inconsistent. Okay, but we haven't had a case since Hine that has changed things in Minnesota.
But you're saying that our role as an error correcting court is to ignore the U.S. Supreme Court case defining reasonableness and basically go along with George and Anderson, which is presumably been at least modified or abrogated to an extent.
I would not concede that has been abrogated in this case.
Yeah. You do concede?
I do not. I
do
not.
You do not.
Thank you very much. I hope you enjoy your time up here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. We will take this very interesting case under advisement and get a decision out within the statutory period of time. Thank you.
Thank you.